It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Last year, Pittsburgh was one of four cities nationwide to launch the 2030 Challenge. It's a voluntary private-public initiative with the goal of reducing the environmental impact of buildings by reducing energy and water use, as well as transmission emissions. Owners of some of downtown's largest buildings, including BNY Mellon Center, One Oxford Center, and PNC Park, have committed to cutting energy, water, and transportation consumption by 50% over the next 18 years as part of a national campaign to conserve resources. As the city prepares to host the first ever National 2030 District Summit, has it met its goals it set for its first year in Pittsburgh? I'm joined now in Studio A by Sean Luther, Pittsburgh 2030 District Director for the Green Building Alliance. Sean Luther, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
Thanks, Paul. I'm great.
And if you'd like to join the conversation with Sean Luther, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh. PGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Sean, in the years since its launch, how has Pittsburgh 2030 changed the city and the landscape of existing buildings?
So we've been really surprised at the, you know, there's a lot of very sophisticated property owners who are participating in this program, but not a lot of them were looking at their electric bills every month. And so just by kind of increasing the conversation about how much energy and water the downtown properties are consuming on an annual and on a monthly basis, we're already starting to see some shifts in how people are approaching the day-to-day management of their buildings.
Why is this important? You know, somebody listening to this may say buildings have operated a certain way for a long period of time, not particularly paying attention to how much energy they use, how much is being emitted. So why should people care about this?
Well, you know, in the building industry, we talk a lot about the triple bottom line. So the real estate industry, we talk about just the bottom line. And when it comes to the 2030 district and really building operations in general, we're really touching on all three of those sides of the triangle. You know, in one case, obviously, reducing energy is good for the environment, which is good for the planet. But at the end of the day, it also has a huge potential savings for the operation expenses on the buildings in downtown Pittsburgh. So if we can reduce those expenses, if we can improve the environmental impact of the buildings, we're also improving really our community position in all of Western Pennsylvania.
So this is good for business.
It is good for business. It's good for everyone. But
is it creating jobs?
We're anticipating, you know, it's going to take some significant investment by all the buildings in downtown to meet the 2030 goals. As you said, a 50% reduction in energy and water and transportation emissions. So that's going to be big systems. That's replacing HVAC systems. That's replacing elevators. It's installing new windows. It's roof work and insulation work.
When you talk about replacing these things, for example, if you're replacing an elevator, what kind of an elevator are you replacing, and what are you replacing it with?
Well, you'd be surprised how far elevator technology has come.
Since the days when people were, when you had guys in there that were actually operating the elevators.
But even since the 80s, when a lot of our Class A office space in downtown was built. And so what you're seeing increasingly at buildings like 11 Stanwix, like buildings at Fifth Avenue Place, which is where Highmark is headquartered, you have elevators that operate on demand systems. The computer controls are much more sophisticated, so they spend less time idling, less time going up and down, and kind of group their trips together to make sure that those elevators are using electricity. So it seems simple, but when you package all those improvements together, it really makes a tremendous impact on the way buildings operate.
So the computer technology or the modern computer technology makes these elevators run more efficiently. They're using less energy.
Right. You don't just hit up or down. You actually punch in your floor. And so the elevator system assigns you an elevator with other people on that floor. So you may wait an extra couple minutes, but it means that that elevator is making fewer trips instead of bouncing up and down all day.
Now, as far as when you talk about more efficient, energy-efficient windows, a lot of the older buildings downtown, and we see this with buildings being renovated, that they have a more modern type of window system. But what is being put in there, and how does it save energy?
Well, you know, the way a building is oriented, north and south, and the way Pittsburgh lays out, which is not quite north and south, means that a lot of the buildings in downtown are really getting blasted with sunlight from early morning all the way to sunset. And so, as you mentioned, modern architecture has called for increasing what we call glazing, which is more and more windows. If you look at 3PNC, it's just about all glass, which was built just a few years ago. It's imperative to invest in those window systems because it actually reduces the load that's put on the air conditioning system as a result. So if you think about the steel building, which has two sides that get hit with sunlight, those two sides get really hot during the day, and so the building engineers will crank up the AC, which means in turn that the one side that isn't facing the sunlight starts to get freezing, and so you have people plugging in their space heaters, even on the same floor. So it really works as an integrative system to reduce energy by approaching front-end costs like window replacement.
Is the U.S. Steel Building signed on with the initiative?
Yeah, they signed on in December of 2012. They've actually been doing a lot of improvements on their own. They've been taking advantage of Duquesne Light's Act 129 rebate program. And they're actually, we just started tracking their energy performance. They're doing very, very well versus the national baseline that's been set for them. So it's a big landmark, so it's great to use them as a case study.
We're talking with Sean Luther, who is the 2030 Pittsburgh District Director for the Green Building Alliance, talking about the 2030 National District Summit and also the 2030 Challenge, which is designed to get building owners to reduce energy and water use as well as emissions, cutting them in some cases by 50% by the year 2030. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you have some ideas to share or questions about how some of this works, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address, ESSPGH@WESA.FM. And you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Why 2030? Why not 2020? Why not 2050? How did you arrive at that number?
So we're aligned with a national movement that's set up by an organization called Architecture 2030 and a gentleman named Ed Mazaria, who's actually going to be giving our keynote address at the summit on Monday, which is open to the public. And we encourage everyone to join us at Point Park. And the year 2030 was derived by Ed because by that time, 75% of all our building stock in the United States will either have been significantly renovated or it will be built new. And because the building sector has such a huge impact on our energy consumption and our climate output, Ed really identified that if we can improve the building sector's impact, we'll make huge headway on reducing energy as a nation. And so that's the number we're all sticking with. And New York's working on 2020 goals. Cleveland's working on 2015 goals. But the important thing is that we're goal-oriented. We're keeping everyone on the same glide path towards an end goal, and that gets everyone fired up and inspires a little friendly competition.
Have you had in Pittsburgh any buildings within the parameters that you've set up to create this 2030 district that have maybe been resistant or reluctant and said, nah, we're good, we don't need to buy into this?
We've gotten very few hard no's. We've got a lot of wary maybes that we've been able to eventually bring into the district. And really, it's the property owners want to make sure that when they commit to this, they're going to accomplish these goals. And so they need to make sure that it's realistic for them. And that usually takes a couple months.
Realistic in terms of, is there obviously there is an investment they have to make. What do they have to do?
So the requirements that we set out is each building actually signs a pledge. So we have Jim Rohr's signature for PNC on file, committing PNC's properties to move towards the 2030 goals. And so the buildings then commit towards working towards these 50% reduction goals and also to share with us at GBA their energy and water consumption information. And, you know, that's a touchy subject, and it takes a level of leadership to commit to those. Now, we keep that information confidential, and we roll it up into one big package. So sometime in the next couple months, we'll actually be able to report a number that says the Pittsburgh 2030 district is X percent below its baseline, driving towards those 50% reductions by 2030.
Can we get an idea of who is reluctant?
No. I can tell you that everyone that said that they don't want to be involved in this particular program is either involved in a national program like the President's Better Building Challenge, mm-hmm. or is just working on their own individual buildings to improve energy performance. And so we're
would rather do it on their own.
They'd rather do it on their own. They'd probably rather feel us out a little bit, and I'm confident they'll get on board shortly.
Of the cities taking part in the 2030 challenge, you have Los Angeles, Seattle, Cleveland. How does Pittsburgh stand out, or how are we doing in conjunction with those other cities?
So we're calling ourselves the fastest growing. You know, when you're comparing cities as diverse as L.A., Pittsburgh, and Seattle, obviously there's not a direct comparison. But we have 54% of the total square footage downtown is committed. That's the largest percentage of any district right now. And I think that really shows the leadership of the corporate and real estate environment in Western Pennsylvania.
My guess would be that that Pittsburgh would have maybe more of a challenge than a city like Seattle, which is a newer – well, they have older buildings too, but they seem to have instituted – a lot of modern technology sooner than many other cities in the United States.
Modern technology and also aggressive policy. So there's mandatory energy reporting when a building sells in Seattle and the state of Washington, and we don't have that here in Western Pennsylvania. And we like this program because we've injected a healthy dose of Pittsburgh into this program when we exported it from Seattle. So not only does Pittsburgh have a challenge, Cincinnati has a challenge, Buffalo has a challenge, Baltimore has a challenge, and we see this as a model for other cities of our size around the Northeast to remain competitive in the national, especially commercial office sector.
We have a tweet from David. He says, it sounds like the 2030 initiative is on its way to reaching its goals. What is the low-hanging fruit we can all reach for, he asks.
So low-hanging fruit is a double-edged sword. and I'll get to the potential downside in a second. But what we're seeing early adopters to the challenge take advantage of because of Duquesne Light's Act 129 rebate program is energy retrofits. PNC just achieved an Energy Star score on 2PNC. Almost entirely by investing in their lighting systems. And that's really, you know, that building was built in the 70s before anyone really cared how many light bulbs were in a building. So they actually reduced the lighting load in that building by 50%, and they're seeing six-figure savings annually now on their electric bills in that building. The other thing we're seeing is more behind the scenes, and it's installation of what's called variable frequency drives on a building's heating and air conditioning system. So when buildings were built for most of last century, they either had an on switch or an off switch. So the boiler was going or the AC units were going regardless of the temperature. And what buildings are investing in now is actually turning off the HVAC systems when it's a cool day, 60 degrees, and ramping in either direction to a percentage output if it's not fully 90 degrees in the summer or 0 degrees in the winter.
Have you had anybody say, you know, our building's been around for a long time and this is too daunting a task, or we just don't know how we can see our way to modernizing or doing a complete overhaul?
You know, some of the oldest buildings in downtown are committed to this district. The Allegheny Courthouse, I think, is a great example of a
that
iconic,
goes back how many years?
I'm not sure the original construction, but I know that it's up there in as far as older buildings in downtown. You know, the interesting thing is those buildings were built much more efficient than many of the buildings that were built in the middle of the 1900s and even
and why is
20
that?
Years ago.
Do we know?
They didn't have the mechanical HVAC systems that modern buildings relied on. And frankly, we've gotten very comfortable as building occupants, and we want our buildings to be 72 degrees all year round. When the courthouse came online, if it was 90 degrees outside, it was going to be a little warmer than if it was 70 degrees. And so those buildings took into account where the sun was and adjusted their windows appropriately. They have better natural ventilation capabilities, and a lot of times that was simply opening windows. And so we're seeing the building sector kind of return to its roots and adopt what's called passive design strategies. The new PNC Tower at 5th and Wood is going to be a national, frankly, an international example of how to heat and cool a building using natural airflow with very limited mechanical assistance.
A lot of people are excited about that building going up. We have talked about major buildings and businesses in Pittsburgh taking part in the initiative. Are smaller businesses taking part in the 2030 challenge?
Yeah, we have an inordinate number of large buildings in the district so far. And that's simply the way that the management of the program has done. So we have 54% of square footage, but we only have 20% of the buildings. So if you do the math, that means we have a smaller number of really big buildings. So we've actually just received a grant from the Department of Energy, and we will be creating a specific focus on small commercial buildings over the next 3 years. So that's buildings smaller than 50,000 square feet. And these are owned generally by mom-and-pop operations that don't have the ability to focus on building improvements the way that a large Fortune 500 does for its headquarters. And so we'll be directly assisting them along those process. The Urban Redevelopment Authority just recently also launched a energy efficiency loan program with very, very low interest rates, in some cases 0%, for small businesses around the city. And so we're hoping to leverage their leadership in that regard as well.
And as we wrap this up, again, the National 2030 District Summit is coming. It's being held here in Pittsburgh. What are you looking to accomplish with this?
So we're going to be swapping best practices. And you know, that sounds kind of intangible, but we're really excited about it. All the existing districts will be joining us, as well as initiatives from around the country that aren't 2030 districts but might be. So we'll be able to learn from leaders around the country on how they're advancing their buildings in individual cities towards energy and water reduction goals. The folks in Seattle have been working on some very forward-thinking strategies to integrate solid waste. We're looking at indoor air quality in buildings, and so it's really a big information swap.
And the goals that you've set for Pittsburgh in the coming year with regard to the 2030 challenge, if we're having this conversation again next year at this time, what goals will you be talking about, hopefully, that you've achieved?
So our goal by the end of this calendar year is to be at 65% participation by square foot and 75% by next year. And it's our goal that we're really increasing that focus on the small commercial sector, that we're able to report our energy and water consumption and our transportation emission numbers and share those with the community, and really just continue to advance this as a national model for improving the efficiency of buildings around the country and make Pittsburgh the leader that it is.
We've been talking with Sean Luther. He is Pittsburgh 2030 District Director for the Green Building Alliance. Joining us here in Studio A. Sean, thank you for being with us, and good luck with everything.
Thank you very much, Paul.
You can hear more about a building that's a partner in the 2030 District Saturday morning on the Allegheny Front at 7:30 on 90.5 WESA. Coming up, meet a recent North Allegheny grad who landed a spot on the National Computational Linguistics Team. It's Essential Pittsburgh, easy for me to say, on 90.5 WESA.